Bibles to the book of Hebrews. Book of Hebrews, chapter 4. As a congregation, we've been working together through the book of Hebrews, and we've come along all the way to chapter 4. And you remember last time we had the first six verses of chapter 4, and this week we'll be reading verses 7 through 11. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 7 through 11, and I'll be reading in the New International Version. Therefore, God again set a certain day, calling it today, when a long time later he spoke through David, as was said before. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. Thus the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and infallible word. As I said a moment ago, 2 weeks ago, we had the first half of this chapter 4, and verses 1 through 6, and it was really the first half of the sermon. That was called Entering Our Sabbath Rest, Part 1, and this morning we have Entering Our Sabbath Rest, Part 2. And you remember how that sermon started out. I was talking about an artist or someone who had in his mind a picture of what the world would be like someday in the future. And so this person has this idea in his mind of what it will be like, and he's got these thoughts of what is going to happen at a future day. And so then he writes them down. And he writes them down in the form of a sketch, or maybe he makes a script of what it is going to be like in the future, what his ideas are. And then he takes that script, or somebody comes along and they read that, and they read what he has written about what is going to take place in the future. And so he makes it into a movie. And so here you have this artist, and you have this event which is going to take place of what the world is going to look like. You have the sketch, which is a smaller picture. It's not quite the full picture. Then you have the movie, which is even a clearer picture that you can understand and that you can see. And last time I made that comparison with how that is so typical, or that is so exactly what has taken place in the Bible. You have heaven. Notice in verse 4 of chapter 4. For somewhere God has spoken about the seventh day in these words. And on the seventh day God rested from all his work. Way back in Genesis goes the book of Hebrews, all the way to Genesis chapter 2. He quotes Genesis chapter 2 and he says, God created the world in 6 days, and when God finished his work of creation, God rested. And this rest was the place that man was supposed to dwell with God and glorify him and enjoy him forever. Adam was given a covenant of works. Adam, if you obey me, if you listen to my word, you may and not eat of the tree, you will enjoy a long-lasting life. You will glorify God and enjoy him forever in this land of rest that I have for you. But of course we know what happened. Adam fell into sin, and suddenly the world was covered with sin, with evil, with death. The wages of sin became death. And so the world, God had rested. He had created this world in which he had rested and where he wanted man to dwell with him forever. But here suddenly man fell into sin. And so we have this picture of this future rest of God, this land of heaven that God has for us. And then you have Adam who fell into sin, and then you see the small sketch. In the Old Testament, you see the land of Israel, a land in the land of Canaan where God created this land on earth where his people could dwell with him and glorify him in this land. And you have this small picture of what is going to take place in heaven. You see, the Old Testament land of Israel was a place where God's people could glorify him and enjoy him forever. Well, here you have this picture on earth of what the future is going to be like. But it's not a complete picture. You still don't see the whole picture. And so then we have in the New Testament the movie. Jesus Christ has come, he has risen from the dead, and he gives us even a fuller picture. In the Old Testament, the people brought sacrifices, and they made sacrifices up into heaven, and that was for the forgiveness of sins. Now in the New Testament, we have the movie, huh? The Old Testament was pointing forward to the greater picture of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross and his sacrifice for our sins. And again, you have a bigger picture of what the future is going to be like. You see that? God rested on the seventh day, and there is the picture of what life will be like in heaven. God's rest, God's enjoyment. Then man falls into sin, and you have a sketch of what is going to be like up here, and then you have a fuller picture in the New Testament of what it's going to be like up here. And so, you know, you remember last time that there was the comparison. Some people are going to enter that rest up here, and some people, by their disobedience, are not going to enter that rest. And it is those who have faith in Jesus Christ, those who have faith that there's going to be a land for them where they can dwell with God and enjoy Him forever, those are the people who are going to enter the rest. And so in verse 7, our author goes on, "Therefore, God again set a certain day, calling it today, when a long time later he spoke through David, as was said before, 'Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts.'" Now notice he's mentioned David as the one who wrote these words. Every other quotation so far that we've encountered in the book of Hebrews, he has said that God is saying these words. Look at 4 verse 3. "Now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said," and he quotes. Then if you go back to chapter 3, verse 7, "So as the Holy Spirit says," and he quotes. And we could go back further, and we won't do that at this time. But every quotation, he starts it out almost by saying, "God says," or "the Holy Spirit says." This is what God says. Now suddenly he says, "This is what David says." Now, why all of a sudden has the author of Hebrews made us focus on David and what David said when he quoted this psalm? Now, remember, he's taken this quotation from chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 7 says, "So as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." And now, in chapter 4, verse 7, he's taken the same quotation, and he said it again, and he said that David is saying this. He's called attention to the fact that David wrote these words at a particular time in history. Now, why does he do that for? Why the sudden switch? Well, you remember King David. Israel was led into the land of Canaan under Joshua. Then there were the judges. Then there was Saul, and Saul was a bad king. And finally the people had David. David was the king after God's very own heart. David was the king who finished conquering the enemies of Israel. He led the Israelites into battle, and he finished conquering the Philistines and all the other enemies of Israel. And David, the king after God's own heart, gave the people rest. They entered the land. David fought. David led them into battle. David was the king after God's own heart. Here was the land of rest under the king that God had given them, where they could glorify God and enjoy him forever in this land. But now look. The author of Hebrews says, hey, look. David wrote these words. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And if you go back to chapter 3, look at the rest of the quotation again. Chapter 3, verse 7. "So as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me, and for 40 years saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation, and I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest." David is on the throne. David has finished conquering the enemies of Israel, The people of Israel have rest. They have what God had promised them long ago when they left the land of Egypt and he brought them to this land. They have rest. And now David says, now the author of Hebrews says, look what David wrote when the people had their rest on this earth. Today. Today, not, he's not talking about a day back when the Israelites, before they entered the land of rest. David, who is in the land of rest, who has given the Israelites rest, says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert. Because God declared that if you have a heart like that, you will not enter my rest. I thought they had rest. They're in the land of Canaan. David, the king after God's very own heart, has given them rest. They have David on the throne. David has conquered the enemies. Supposedly the Israelites have rest. But David knows, doesn't he? David knows that there is a greater day. He knows that these people in this sketch, have not reached the final rest. You can still harden your hearts, people. You think you have rest, but you can still harden your hearts. And don't harden your hearts as your fathers did in the wilderness, because then you will not enter God's rest. This is only a sketch. This is a small picture of what heaven is going to be like. But the land that you live in, with me on the throne, with me giving victory to all of your enemies, is not the final rest. God can still declare an oath in his anger that you will never enter my rest, which is the final rest of heaven. That's what the author of Hebrews is pointing out to the Hebrews. God again set a certain day, calling it today, when a long time later he spoke through David, as was said before, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Now think about these Hebrews. We've talked a lot about them, haven't we? These Hebrew people, they were living in a world where Rome was in control. Rome had destroyed the land of Israel. There was no longer a temple. They had lost their property. They endured hardship and insult because they loved Jesus. And the people in the book of Hebrews were saying, look, why can't God give us our own land once again? Why can't God lead us out of the land of slavery as he led the Israelites out of the land of Egypt and take us back to Israel or back to a special place that he has for us where we can dwell in this land, where God can give us rest from our enemies, where we can glorify God and enjoy him forever, where we can have a king after God's own heart on the throne who has Christian values, who loves Jesus Christ as his Savior. Why can't we have a land like that where we can have peace and where we can have rest? That's what the Hebrews wanted. And the author of Hebrews is saying, look, even David, King David, who had led the people into the land, who had given them rest, knew of another day. And he's saying to the Hebrews, look, you folks think that you want rest here on this earth, but you won't find rest on this earth. Because the rest, the final rest that you wish to enter is the rest that is in heaven. We hear a lot about this today, don't we? Oh, if only we had someone in the White House who held firmly to Christian convictions, who governed the land as someone who loved God and who held up the biblical values. Let us go back again to the values on which this country was founded. We want to have a nation in which we can worship God in peace, where we can stand up for Jesus Christ and know that we will not be threatened by anyone else around us. Oh, if only we had rest. Now, I'm not saying this morning that we shouldn't vote responsibly, or that we shouldn't look for candidates or work for political candidates who believe in Jesus Christ and all these things. But what the author of Hebrews is saying this morning is don't put all your hope in that. You will never find rest on this earth. The rest that you are looking for is in heaven. The kingdom that we look toward is not a better America, is not a better place on this earth where we can have a godly king on the throne who can lead us in the worship of God. We look for a home in heaven, a place where Jesus is on the throne, a kingdom which we submit to Him, a kingdom where He is in charge. And oh, how we heard last week about the country of Eritrea. Here was a country in Africa, Eritrea, which for years had OPC missionaries, and they were ready to close the mission down because it was so unfruitful. And suddenly the Ethiopians invaded the land, and they went through a great war, and we pulled out for 20 years, no missionaries, no OPC missionaries, and now they've come back. And the people have gone through war, and the gospel is living and alive. God has a reason for not giving us rest. Sometimes persecution is the way God further advances His kingdom and strengthens His kingdom. Because when the people are going through persecution, they look towards heaven. And so the author of Hebrews goes on. In verse 8 he says, "For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day." Now you remember Joshua. First he's talked about David. Now he's going to Joshua. Joshua led the people into the land of Canaan. Joshua went to Jericho and the walls fell down. Joshua led the army against Ai and all the other cities. Joshua was leading them into the promised land, conquering their enemies so that the people could have rest. But now Hebrews is saying, look, Joshua did not give them rest. God would not have spoken about another day to Joshua if Joshua was giving them rest. Joshua knew that when he led them into that land, that they were not going to have the final rest. That was only the sketch. That was only the script. It wasn't the final picture of what it was going to be like. And Joshua knew it. Joshua did not give them rest because God still spoke back then about another day. And so in verse 9 he says, "There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God." Now remember the people, they're saying, "Boy, oh boy, I just wish that God would give us a land here on this earth, that we could glorify Him and dwell with Him forever. I wish that we wouldn't have to endure this persecution. Why did we have to give up our property because we love Jesus? Why did we have to not enjoy some of the pleasures of this world that the Romans do because we love Jesus? Why do we have to endure persecution because we love Jesus? There's no rest on this earth. There isn't the place like there was in the land of in the Old Testament." And the author of Hebrews says, yes. David did not give his people rest. Joshua did not give his people rest. But even for you, those of you who have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can have rest. Your Sabbath rest, the rest that God created when He rested from His work, on the seventh day of creation, that rest, that land, still remains for you. And in that land, there is no crying, there is no death, There is no pain. That is the land of heaven. Well, now look at verse 10. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Now think about that. For anyone who enters God's rest, anyone who can go into that place, rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Rests from his own work. What work do we rest from? What work is he talking about here? That we will rest from our work just as God rested from his. We do not have to work for our salvation. Our entering that Sabbath rest does not depend on how good we have been this week. It does not depend on how many good things we have done for others. It does not depend on how many nice things we've said to others or how we have ministered to others. We enter that rest resting on the work of Christ. Jesus went to the cross. Jesus was tempted in every way, but he did not sin. Jesus went to the cross and he poured out his blood. He suffered death and he rose. He paid the penalty for sin, and our entering that rest depends upon nothing that we do. It depends on the work of Christ. We who believe in Jesus Christ, those of us who belong to Jesus as our Savior, we rest from our work. Remember in the catechism we were talking about the spiritual kingdom and the heavenly kingdom, which still is to come when Jesus comes back? We are already in the spiritual kingdom. We already have a taste of the rest of God. You see, we rest, as it says, just as God rested from his. When God created the world, he rested after 6 days. And then man fell into sin and man could not enjoy the rest of God. But now, in the New Testament, God has sent Jesus. And Jesus kept the covenant of works. Adam, do not eat of that tree or you will die, or you will surely die. Jesus, come into this world and live and don't sin. And he didn't sin. Jesus kept the covenant of works. Jesus did the righteousness for us. And when Jesus came out of the grave, God had a new creation. God had a new heavenly spiritual kingdom, which he brought in through what he had done through Christ on the cross. And that is the beginning of our rest. And since God has now rested by what Christ has done, he continues to rest by that new creation. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his work, just as God rested from his. And then he says in verse 11, let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest. Now he's just told us in the previous verse, God rests from his own work just as we will rest. In other words, anyone who enters God's rest rests from his work. And now in verse 11 he's saying, let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest. I thought we were supposed to rest. I thought we were already there because of what Christ did on the cross. Now he's telling us we have to work. We get our salvation because Jesus works on the cross. So what effort are we supposed to do to confirm that we belong to that rest? What efforts are we supposed to do to know that we are in heaven and that we are with Christ? He's given us commands, hasn't he? go and hear the preaching of the word. Go and take part in the sacraments, in the Lord's Supper. When you go home at night, pray. Read the Bible. When you're struggling and battling with sin, find somebody to help you and hold you accountable. Work towards repentance of the sin. Let us therefore, says the author of Hebrews, make every effort to enter that rest. God has given us things that we are to do. We're to use the means of grace to strengthen our efforts as we are entering that rest. Our efforts do not help us enter the rest. Our efforts do not enable us to enter the rest. Christ has done the work, and He is what's given us the rest. But those things that we do strengthen our knowledge that what Jesus has done on the cross. It strengthens our hearts. It gives us hope. It gives us a future. Notice how it ends. So that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. Have you ever had a time in your life or talked to others in your life who looked at what God was doing and became frustrated, as the Israelites did? Here they are in the wilderness and they run out of water. Here they are, they get to the promised land, and here are these huge people that they have to fight. Now here you are living your life, and suddenly you run into these things that you don't like. And you say, why is God doing that? The people of Hebrews believed in Jesus, and here they came along, and suddenly their property was taken away. And suddenly they were dealing with insults for Jesus. And suddenly they begin to think, or suddenly maybe you begin to think, I'm not going to go to church anymore. I don't even want to pray. I don't know why this is happening to me in my life. I don't know why God is putting me through this for. I don't even want to pray anymore. I don't want to read the scriptures. I don't want to go to church. I'm just going to sit here. So that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. That's what the Israelites did. We got to fight these people. It would be better if we had died in Egypt. It would have been better if we didn't even have God. That's why the author of Hebrews says, look, let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest. Let us do the, don't stay away from God because you're frustrated with what He has done with your life. Don't get frustrated with the place that He has put you in. With the things that are happening, don't turn away from God. But all the more, when those things are happening, that's when you need to make every effort to enter that rest. That's when you need to be praying. That's when you need to be reading your Bible. That's when you need to be in church. That's when you need to take part in the Lord's Supper, in the sacraments that God has given us. Let us make every effort to enter that rest. Even in our New Testament days, this is reflected to us. You remember in the Old Testament, the rest was on the seventh day. The people worked 6 days during the week, and on Saturday they rested from their work. And the rest was a picture of the rest they would have in heaven. Now here we are in the New Testament. And Christ has completed the work, as it says in verse 10, on the cross. And so now, not on the last day do we celebrate our rest, but on the first day we celebrate our rest. We come to church on Sundays. We celebrate the work that Christ has done on the cross. And all the works that we do flow out of what we do on Sunday. all the works that we do during the week flow out of what Christ has done on the cross as we make those efforts to enter that rest. You see the picture? Here you have in this picture of the future. You have the sketch in the Old Testament of what it was like in heaven. Now suddenly in the New Testament, we have Christ. We have the rest of God ahead of us. We have a future. We have what symbolizes here today, what it will someday be like in heaven. And so this morning, very soon, we are going to take part in the Lord's Supper. And I can think of no greater way that God has given us to show us the rest that we will have in heaven. God's people are gathered around His table. All those who believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior are gathered around here in unity, in oneness, knowing that Jesus has died on the cross. You see how it points back? It points back to what Jesus did on the cross, and what we do here flows out of that. It flows out of that future rest, that future picture of what God is going to have us in heaven, that future land. This morning, as we gather around here, you see the future picture of heaven. But there is also the warning, isn't there? Those who reject God, those who are frustrated with their life, those who don't understand why God is doing those things, they fall by the example of disobedience. The reason people fall, the reason they fall into these messes, is because they don't trust God. You see, that's the theme of the whole book of Hebrews, isn't it? The people have to get their minds off of what is happening below. And they have to look to the future. They have to look to heaven. They have to know that that Sabbath rest of God is still ahead of them, that they belong to Him, and they trust that whatever God puts them through, He's done it for His own glory. Let's pray. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for this book of Hebrews, which keeps our minds off of what is happening around us on this earth and what we must endure, but helps us focus on the future. It helps us focus on heaven. And Lord, we know that we can never find rest here on this earth, but our rest is only in heaven with Jesus Christ. And we thank You, Lord, that we here on the first day of the week can know that Jesus has suffered death for all of us, that Jesus has been risen for all of us, that the penalty for our sins has already been paid. And we rest that Jesus has brought us to heaven. Oh Lord, we thank You for bringing us there. Help us, Lord, to trust You, to know You, to live our life for You. Help us, Lord, to know that what we do on this earth does not get us to heaven, but demonstrates our love for Jesus Christ and that we belong to Him. Lord, give us strength to make every effort to enter that rest. Give us strength to pray, to read our Bibles, to come to church, to hear the preaching of Your Word. Work in our hearts so that we will always be focused not on what happens here, but what You have for us in heaven. We pray all these things, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.